buildings and the pavement and the malls. I love the factories, I love the rubber balls. I love the ukuleles and the sound of spinning tape. I love the things that people make. I love the tricycles, I love the synagogues. I love the Lego and I love the Lincoln Logs. I love the fishing lures, I love the plumber's snakes. I love the things that people make. Knives, I love the garden gnomes. I love the way that people decorate their homes. I love the ovens and the casseroles they make. I love the things that people make.
Welcome to January 20th. Welcome to These Things That People Make. You are listening to the theme song, which is The Burning Hell, singing I Love the Things That People Make. And now for the show. My name is Sarah Mangle. I'm your host. These Things That People Make is a show about anything that people make that is not considered fine art and the stories and politics behind those things. And today we have a bit of a collage show. I don't know if you happen to listen around just before, I think it's October 23rd, just before Halloween this year, I played a talk with Linda Berry speaking at the International Festival of Authors. Linda Berry is a renowned comic book artist, really fantastic, really enthusiastic, energetic lady. And she, at one point in her talk, talked about just like adults sort of needing to reclaim the sort of uncriticalness of childhood craft. And there's this one moment where she sort of reminded us of the activity of tracing your hand to make a turkey. And I re-listened to that talk recently at my house when I was updating the blog for this radio show. And I just thought she's right. Like, when we think about the crafts that we do as children, we do feel better and I feel less critical of myself. And I feel inspired to embrace kind of like silliness or interest in something without having a like academic or sort of heady explanation for why you're doing it. So with that kind of inspiration, I went and walked around this building, the University Center at the University of Guelph, and just asked people to tell me stories of childhood crafts. And as always, it uncovers the seriousness of childhood in this interesting way, and the bizarreness of childhood without explanation. And I love that. And so how the show's going to be formatted today is you're going to hear from three people talking about crafts that they did as children, and then I'm going to play a song, and then we'll hear from three more people. So that's the way it's going to go. So here are the first three stories. I asked people yesterday, January 19th, what crafts do you remember doing as children?
Hi, my name is Gabriella, and growing up, of course, I love making crafts. One of my favorite memories is taking popsicle sticks, and you kind of layer them to make these little boxes. They look kind of like log houses, the way that you interweave the popsicle sticks, and that was my favorite craft to make growing up. I made dozens and dozens of them.
Were they replicas of other buildings, or did you play with little people in them?
I just made a lot of boxes that I'd give them to my daddy to use on his office desk to hold pens and such, and give them to my mom to hold spices in the kitchen. It was great stuff.
Hi there, my name is William. I had a weird hobby as a kid, actually, but you know what, it's... At the time, it was considered, like, pretty cool. I used to draw, like, little Pokemon, and I drew a whole set of the 150 of them when it were only, like, 150. And the drawings were actually, like, getting more and more intricate as I went along. So I made, like, a pretty kick-ass Gyarados at some point. I was really proud of myself for that one. Yeah, it was a nice way to pass the time, but then Pokemon got suddenly, like, very uncool after 3 years, so that put an end to my brilliant artistic career as a kid.
Do you still have the drawings?
Actually, no, because I was so frustrated by their uncoolness that I decided to throw them out. Or actually, I think they might have just got lost when I moved from one place to the next and never found them again. But that makes me a little sad, because I would have liked to, you know, just like go back to that place and like see how good I actually was, and not how I like perceived myself at the time, and see if I had like any ability whatsoever to like actually draw stuff.
I bet you did.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Kevin.
Great. And can you tell me about the recipe book you made in school?
We had to bring in little wee recipes that we cut out of magazines or newspapers and all that, and paste them on a piece of paper, and then get some three-ring twisty things and kind of assemble it. Now, this is grade 2.
How many did you collect?
I had about 12 recipes.
And did you ever make any of them?
I didn't. My mother might have, but I didn't. I was too young.
Yeah. Do you remember baking with your mom as a child?
Yes. Yes, and that's why I bake today.
Oh, really? Do you use any of the same recipes that she used?
Not those ones, because they were simple ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I use cookbooks now, the big fancy cookbooks.
What is one of your favorite things that you like to make?
I like making stuff with pastry. Your cookies and your cakes and the sweet stuff.
Yeah. Is it challenging pastry, or is it just about figuring out the dough?
It's simple to make. It's just time consuming doing the rolling, cutting the butter and shortening in and whatnot.
Today on These Things That People Make, we are hearing stories of crafts that people remember doing as children. In that last little 3 interview set, we heard from Gabriella, William, and Norman. And that was Martina Topley Bird from her album Someplace Simple with her song Da Da Da. And we're going to go back now to some more people sharing their stories and memories about crafts as children.
My name's Jan.
Hi, Jan. What did you love about Paint by Number as a child?
Well, number one, it was easy. Number two, it didn't ask me to be too creative. I just got to follow the lines and the colors, so it was something to do, kept me occupied. I also liked reading, but those were my hobbies.
Do you remember any particular image, Paint by Number image, that you still remember?
Yep. I have a fondness for horses, so that was my go-to picture as a rule.
great, like a horse scene.
A horse scene, yeah. One time when I was a child, in grade 4, we made a school craft of a star to put on top of our tree with felt, and we stuffed it with cotton and then decorated it with glitter glue.
Does it still exist today?
Yep. It's on a miniature tree in my house.
That's awesome. Glitter glue, withstanding the threads of time. Did you glue the felt together, or did you attach the two star pieces in some other way? Because gluing felt is hard.
My teacher had to sew it for me.
Great.
Now, we used to paint the pots that you put your plants in, and we would paint them fun colors and like glue eyes on them, and then they would just sit there kind of looking at you. That was my favorite craft.
Whoa. Plants with eyes.
Well, yes. Kind of creepy, I guess.
Amazing. Do you still have any of those pots?
I think it fell, but I still have one. I don't know. Somehow it's still together and intact, but we still have one, yeah.
That's great. Do you use googly eyes in other areas of your life now as an adult?
No, I don't. I can't say I do.
Bring them back. Bring back the googly eyes.
Bring them back into style.
My name's Nick Irvine, and I can remember from my kindergarten days, we were supposed to draw a picture, so I decided to draw a picture of fireworks. And my picture of fireworks was taking every color crayon I could find and just scribbling circles all over the page until really it just looked like a big black blob with some color. But I thought it was the most amazing picture in the world. Look back on it now, maybe not so much, but yeah, I remember it being pretty spectacular. So,
do you still have it?
I do. It's in my memory box with the, you know, in a booklet of all the drawings that we did. So, yeah.
I'm so glad you still have it.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. No worries.
Under that burning ether that falls down on these walls, burning my arms, I've been alone. Said I you for every word I couldn't do. I've been uncrossed and I've been untrue. I've been the thorn, I've been the heart, but the heart of my own is burned down alone. The light in your verse and the shadow between the way that I was when I away from me, oh, and it washed away.
first craft memory, which is, or was, edible finger paint. That was in kindergarten, so I was 4 or 5, and we had finger painted before, but this was my first experience with edible finger paint, and it was pistachio, if I recall. So it was green, and it's not a flavor that kids are used to, pistachio. So being told that it was both edible and a flavor we would never tasted before, it was, we weren't sure if they were telling us the truth, so there was a lot of tentative tasting going on. But yeah, that one stuck with me.
Did you eat a lot of it?
No, I mean, like, I think we used it mostly for finger painting, and then to get the paint off our hands is when we ate it.
That's gross and amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks so much. Would you ever make edible finger paint as an adult?
Oh, yes. And if I have children or I'm looking after children, I think that's a great thing to do. If you can eat the mess you make, that's better. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, you.
Funny thing is, my friend's mother taught me how to crochet. Her kids weren't interested at all in crocheting, right? But she taught me, and I made all these little granny squares and made an Afghan. The thing was so heavy, you can hardly lift it because it was made out of all these thick scraps of wool. But my daughter still has it to this day. But I don't know if he ever tried to wash it, and it was wet, probably weighs like 100 pounds. It's just huge.
How long did it take you to make it?
Oh, ages. Yeah. Ages, because, you know, I just made all these squares, and then, I don't know, I was probably into my 20s before I actually sewed them all together.
So it was like a multiple-year project.
Yes, yeah, bit at a time. Mm-hmm. Then it wasn't until later that another relative of mine taught me how to, like, follow a pattern and crochet, mm-hmm. so I could make more intricate things. Like, back then when I was a kid, I just made squares, continual squares.
But you mastered it, right? So you had this nice sense of accomplishment.
Yeah. And then my sister taught me how to knit, but like I said, she was 10 years older than I was, and she used to yell at me a lot because I didn't hold my needles right for her. But she taught me how to knit, and I made quite a few things after. Mm. Later on in years, I had another one of my friends. Now, I would have been 30 then, and she taught me how to quilt, and I made hand quilts. I never made one for myself.
Why not?
Because they're too time-consuming.
Yeah.
I mean, I made one for my parents and one for my sister and a couple for my daughter and stuff like that, and a whole bunch of baby quilts. Mm. But I don't own one myself. But my mother, she's 92. She still has the quilt that I made her. Mm-hmm.
Great. And what are some of your, like, what are your, one, like, fondest memory?
Of?
Of making a quilt or a blanket.
Ah, well, the nice thing about making the quilt, but of course, this isn't when I was a kid anymore. I was in my 30s. This lady used to come over, you know, and help me quilt.
Yeah.
So once or twice a week. And I had this big frame in my basement, so you couldn't walk in my basement.
It was quilt land.
Yeah, you had to crawl under the quilt to get through the room, right? And as you did a little bit, you would roll it in at the end, so it would get smaller and smaller till it was...
Okay.
But like just the social part of somebody coming over and and quilting with you. And my kids, at that time, I think my son was still at home, and he used to play under the quilt with his little trucks and that while I was quilting. Because he thought this was neat. He was like in a tent, right?
Totally. It's a fort.
Yeah, it was like a fort. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was talking to someone recently about wanting to do an embroidery project with a whole lot of people for that reason.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of nice when you have somebody, you know, with the same... It's not like quilting and stuff like that is a little more your hands-on doing the same project. Where knitting, you can get together, but everybody's sort of working on their own project.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's true.
Dean, can you tell me about the mini weapons you made as a child?
The mini weapons would have been homemade nunchucks, as well as three sectional staffs, dragon sticks, all kinds of little fun stuff that I do believe are prohibited right now.
How did you figure out how to make them?
Watching Bruce Lee movies.
And what did you make them out of?
Mostly wood and shoelaces. Would actually sling them together.
And then would you use them?
Not... Just for practice, backyard. That's about it. They never ventured out into the city limits.
And do you have any of them today?
No. No, I don't think so. They likely found their way into a fire pit of somewhere.
The first craft I remember doing was just an abstract series of blocks, wooden blocks glued together. But after that, the one I ended up, I seem to remember doing most were toilet paper tube men.
Oh yeah.
So stick a toilet paper tube, poke holes on either side, like midway up for the arms, stick pipe cleaners in, and then you tape pipe cleaner legs to the bottom, and you could make tons of different ones. Soldiers, I remember making soldiers. Tons of different guys, basically. That's the one I remember most.
I want to make some right now.
Do you have any toilet paper tubes?
I'm sure I can find some. Okay. That's a great idea.
I'll meet you
okay.
when you're ready.
Thanks, Patrick.
My name's Nicole, and as a kid, I made quite a few crafts. I was kind of a crafty child. But one that comes to mind, specifically because I don't think it was very good for me, was that my mom used to let me draw pictures and color and draw faces on styrofoam cups. And I would sometimes decorate them. And then you put them in the oven and they shrink down a lot, and they get really hard and tiny, and they were pretty cool, and then I would, like, string them on yarn, and like, they would be, like, little mobiles. But it occurs to me as an adult that that was probably toxic, but it was really fun.
I've never heard of that before. I'm so glad you told me about it.
Yeah, I think maybe we invented it, but I'm not too sure. I wouldn't recommend it because I do suspect that it's bad for you.
Geranium kisser, skin like silk and face like glass. Don't confront me with my failure.
So that does it for These Things That People Make today. I want to say thank you to everybody who contributed as I wandered around the University Center. Not something I normally do. Normally I, you know, set up an interview with somebody and they know I'm going to interview them, but yesterday I just wandered around with a recorder. So thanks to everybody. I hope that inspires people to make the weirdest crafts of life, at least make a few toilet paper tube men. And Locavore is up next. They're going to talk about apples, my favorite food of life. So stay tuned. You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and on the web www.cfru.ca.
Hair is like an eagle. Your two eyes are like two doves. But our bed is like a feather.
You're listening to CFRU 93.3 FM, 250 watt of community power.
The rights of tens of thousands of migrants working as living caregivers in Ontario are being neglected. As the name suggests, caregivers give care to those in need of assistance. But who's caring for the rights and needs of migrants working as living caregivers? Migrante Ontario is a non-profit organization advocating for the rights and well-being of migrants working as living caregivers. The passing of Bill C-50 has made it easier for people working in Canadian migrant worker programs to work with temporary status, but harder to gain permanent residency. Working with temporary status in Canada leaves the rights of migrant workers far less protected. However, most migrants who come to Canada are led to believe that they have the chance to become Canadian citizens. Interested in getting involved with the Guelph contingent of Migrante Ontario? Connect with us at migrante.ontario@gmail.com. That's migrante.ontario@gmail.com.
Hold your breath, going down, going down, going down. Hold your breath, going down, going down, going down. Hold your breath, going down, going down, going down.
The spoken word carries the poetry of the human spirit. Tune in to the Guelph Spoken Word Radio Show, Saturdays at 9 p.m. on CFRU 93.3 FM. GPS, where are you at?
Immigrant Services Guelph, Wellington offer free settlement and adoption services for a new immigrant to Canada. We are committed to providing programs and services that